Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Next, I'd like to introduce... Throw your hands in the air
if you're a true player. Big Booty is my kryptonite.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Jacob Albrecht on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us on a Football Friday. A little State Farm Insurance Picks of the Week looming in second hour. We'll unveil the games. Probably not too hard to figure out. But we'll make it official here sometime in hour number one. Shockers getting ready for another good test out of the Big 12 with K-State coming to town. And, of course, the Cowboys winning last night 27-17 to start week 13 of the NFL season with a win over the New Orleans Saints. And looked, I thought, pretty good in the process, especially defensively picking off Taysom Hill four times. Jacob Albrecht joining us, as always, on the other side of the aisle. Taysom Hill just doesn't look like an NFL quarterback to me. Am I missing something?
I've never thought he does. Right. I don't want to be irrational and like pile on, but
no.
I mean, I've never seen it. I've never seen what Sean Payton sees. I do think for, you know, the gadget player that he is, he's a good player. You know, where they can move him around and do some things and make him a receiver,
sure,
and maybe use him out of a wildcat occasionally and put him on the goal line. I mean, he showed what kind of a runner he is, but as a quarterback full time, you know, he's very limited. And last night we saw some, you know, bad decisions. I mean, a lot of those picks were just bad. They weren't good at all. He doesn't see things. It doesn't seem well. So, you know, it's fine. I don't know that he gives him more or less of a chance to win than Trevor Siemian. So
right.
I guess I'm fine with it while they're dealing with injuries and don't have another option. Like, I'm fine with going with him right now. But as far as, you know, the big contracts and the long-term plan, I've never understood that.
No.
Never understood that.
You know what? He really reminds me of Tim Tebow in terms of the skill set that he brings or doesn't bring to the table as a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think that Tebow was a guy that read the field particularly well, at least at the NFL level. He was not a great thrower. Really wasn't a great thrower, even in college.
Taysom Hill may be a little, and I wanted to say that, and then I kind of caught myself because I'm trying to remember. Taysom Hill might be a little better thrower.
He is a better thrower. He is a better thrower than Tebow. But, man, I watched him. But last night, I mean, what, he had thrown four interceptions in his entire career. Well, he matched that last night in one game. So he looked bad last night. But that's with a team that had time, or at least some time, to prepare and to scheme against him, and he just didn't look good. Just didn't make good throws, didn't see the field, threw it to the other guys too many times. And that was the difference in the game, quite frankly. Yeah, we know he's got good running skills. He's a big, strong guy. He just doesn't appear to be the type of guy that can throw it consistently in the NFL. And maybe he just needs, you know, consistent starts. Maybe that's the thing that
he needs
more than anything else.
I think if you're the Saints, just let him start the rest of the way and see, you know, see what you see. And then they clearly have a role chiseled out for him. They keep paying him. And that's okay. He, it's interesting you bring up Tebow. He does what everyone wanted to see Tim Tebow do, which is, you know, be an H-back, basically. Kind of play a little tight end to get back in the backfield, line up in the eye if he needs to. Like, that's what we always wanted to see. So that part of it, I get it. I do think he's a useful football player. I'm not saying that at all. Is he worth the amount of money they pay him? I probably wouldn't do it. And is he the long-term full-time quarterback? No, I don't think – definitely don't think that that's the case.
No. Anyway, Cowboys win in rather progressively ho-hum fashion. I don't think there was much.
Kind of an ugly game.
Yeah, a little bit. But still, there wasn't much doubt about it, I didn't think. I felt like the Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb came back, was productive. And they got a big play from how good has Tony Pollard been for them?
Really good.
That's a good football player, man.
It's a little bit of an awkward situation because Zeke Elliott's clearly nicked a little bit and not at 100%, and Pollard gives you so much juice. You know, Cowboys fans, I'm friends with a lot. I follow a lot from, you know, my time working in Texas when that team was the focus. There's a large calling to, you know, why don't we just give Tony Pollard it? Why do we even – listen, Tony Pollard's really effective right now in the role that he has. I'm not sure he'd be as effective if you took Zeke Elliott off the field. So
no.
I think they handle the backfield well, quite frankly. They don't, as a general statement, run the ball enough. And last night was an example of why, you know, Kellen Moore sometimes will drive you nuts. You've got a 2-score lead late in the game. Run the ball. You know, worst case scenario, you're running the clock. That second to last drive, I think it was last night, they ran it on first down, picked up, I think, 2 yards, if I remember it correctly. And then they threw it on the next 2 downs and they kept stopping the clock. So, yeah, you may not be running it, you know, the way that you want to for 8-9 yards, but worst case scenario, you're at least using some clock with a 2-score lead. So, do that. And they didn't. And, you know, it just, those kinds of things drive you nuts. Like, that's a Jason Garrett thing. Like, that's the kind of crap he used to pull. So they got to be able to run it. I think, I don't know why their offensive line, while at the beginning of the year was healthy and looked great, has been a little banged up and guys are moving around a little bit. Cowboys will need to run the ball to get back to that point where we feel like they're one of the best teams in football. But, you know, they get DeMarcus Lawrence back last night and the defense looks really good. And that's the other part of why the Cowboys are pretty dangerous. I mean, they had the Saints had the late touchdown, but the Cowboys defense looked dynamic last night. Micah Parsons and Diggs are, you talk about two cornerstones of your defense for a long time, and you know Jerry will pay those guys. He pays his guys. Like, those guys will be Cowboys for a while. That makes you feel pretty good. Both those guys are game wreckers.
And really the best rushing teams in the NFL are teams that, well, I mean, you've got some featured guys. Jonathan Taylor, obviously, with the Colts. You had Derrick Henry with the Titans. But mixing and matching is the general trend in the NFL. And to do that, you got to have either a couple of guys back there that can pass block and that can also catch the ball out of the backfield and that generally try to give you a good little 1-2 change of speed or change of pace in your running game. Or you get a mobile quarterback a la Hurts in Philadelphia or Murray in Arizona or there's probably four or five of them at least that that really can run and that are run threats.
Of the good quarterbacks, I don't think Hurts is a good quarterback. Of the good quarterbacks, I think Lamar's one of the few.
Yeah, Lamar's the best.
Even later in his career, continues to feature the run. You know, we don't see Russell Wilson run anymore. We don't really see Kyler Murray run all that much anymore. Dak Prescott doesn't run anymore. Like, you know, eventually those guys evolve into passers, except for Lamar Jackson, and he's a unicorn, right? Like, he's different.
But yes, he is.
I think that you got to be able to run the ball. And it's always an interesting debate because you have analytics nerds, and I use the term nerds with all the, you know, compassion in the world. I say it just because I think it's funny to see, like, old school hard-headed football people argue the value of the run versus computer nerds. And I tend to lean, as I do in most things, a little more old school on that. I don't know how you can watch football games and not understand the value of the run, the mental aspect of running the football. The Cowboys, for instance, are a team that they get DeMarcus Lawrence back, one of the better defenders in football, pride of Butler Community College. Shout out.
You bet.
They get him back. And now their defense is humming, right? You got a defense that's locking people down. Boy, if you can extend drives and run the ball effectively, you have totally deflated the will of the other team. There is value in that, and it's never going to show up on a stat sheet. You can't quantify it, which is why the new school computer age generation that wants everything to be statistically represented has a hard time with that. But football people are like, no, man, if you can run the ball, like, it matters. And players will say it. Everybody says it. If you get your offensive line dominating like that and they can't stop you and you're running the clock, you're toast. You know, that has a tremendous amount of value. And for a while, the Cowboys did that as well as anybody. When Zeke was healthy and the offensive line was healthy, I mean, when they were going full strength, I mean, they were running it down people's throats. And then how do you stop Dak Prescott and those weapons? If you got to respect the run. So for the Cowboys, they'll need to get back to that if they can. You know, they got to get healthy. They go into a bye out of a short week. That'll be real nice for them to get that long break. The Saints want to run the ball. They just don't have anybody to run it. I sat there and watched that game for the Saints and thought, man, if Taysom Hill would stop throwing the ball and just become a runner, the Cowboys are going to have a hard time defending that. We see it time after time in the NFL. When quarterbacks, you know, early on get in there and just run, defenses have a hard time with that. And he's dangerous if he runs that much because he does have an arm. Like, he can chuck it around a little bit, but you know, they tried to let him pass and it bit him in the butt, and then they got behind and the Cowboys did exactly what they needed to do in that game. People were disappointed because it was a little ugly, but man, if I'm the Cowboys after the disappointing Raiders loss and you've got a bye week coming up, I feel pretty dang good about that win last night.
Philadelphia, Baltimore, Cleveland, the three best rushing teams in the NFL, followed by the Colts, Tennessee, San Francisco, Dallas, Chicago, Washington, and Arizona are your top 10. Contenders in that group: Arizona, Dallas, San Francisco, Tennessee, Indianapolis, Baltimore. So about, what, half of that group? Maybe six in that?
I mean, which of that group is not a contender for a playoff spot?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Even Philadelphia. I mean, even Philadelphia in the NFC.
Chicago, maybe. Chicago probably.
Yeah, Chicago's out. You're right. Chicago's out.
Right.
Chicago, and that's actually surprising that they're up there because Justin Fields isn't running as much as people would like him to. But yeah, I mean, everybody, it's dependent on, not every team needs to run it the same way. You know, you don't have to lead the league in rushing to be an effective rushing team.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers probably aren't going to lead the league in rushing, but they've been a pretty good team at running when they need to this year. You know, the Packers have some of that in their DNA. They're not going to be at the top of the list, but boy, when they need to just line up and run it, they got a couple of guys in a line that can let them do it. And I think that, and what do we see? Every postseason we see it. The Patriots. I'm surprised the Patriots aren't on that list, actually.
Well,
because that's the Patriots' total offensive identity right now.
I'm going to expand the metric now. to trends in the last three games, New England is in the top 10 in that. They're averaging 141 yards a game over their last three starts running the football. And really, Jacob, we're in the month of December now. So especially teams in colder weather locales that aren't playing indoors might be a little bit more inclined to run the football. Numbers are up a little bit over the last 3 weeks. San Francisco's running the ball. Indianapolis running the ball. Detroit running the ball very successfully, I might add. Cincinnati has picked it up. On the season, they're averaging 111 yards per game, but they have been averaging close to 150 yards per game over the last three, and it's no coincidence that I think that they're 3-0 during that stretch. Tennessee continues to run the ball extremely well, even without Derrick Henry, averaging six more yards in their last three games than they are for the entire season. Washington's running the ball real well. Denver's running the ball extremely well, which leads me to my next question. Level of intrigue slash concern that you have with the Broncos team coming in that can clearly run the football, 144 yards a game over their last three starts. They've won three of their last four, yet are nearly double-digit underdogs in Kansas City, where they haven't won since 2015, and they've lost 11 straight in that rivalry. What's your level of intrigue?
High. It's high.
Yeah.
I do think Denver poses some challenges. I think this, you know, if Denver can run it effectively and Teddy Bridgewater gets to operate that way, they've got weapons at receiver. I'm still intrigued by Denver and their potential to win, you know, any game that they play in, because I do think if they run it effectively, they're pretty dangerous. And the Chiefs have stepped up to that challenge. Nobody's done much on the Chiefs defense now right. For what? What are we talking about? 6 weeks, 7 weeks? So
yeah.
I like
well,
the
they're
Chiefs.
Only, they're only allowing 13 points a game in their four-game win streak. So
I'm pretty surprised that they're, what are they, 9.5-point favorites? Like that, and we'll get to our picks later. 9.5 points seems pretty thick for me.
It does. I agree.
Just because, you know, like we're coming out of a bye, and I get all that, and I definitely think the Chiefs are going to win, but they're going to win by 10 points. I don't know, because we're still waiting on the offense to explode. We're still, you know, the offense has done a much better job at, you know, sort of playing within itself and doing what it needs to do to win games, but is it going to explode? And, you know, are they going to continue to play that level of defense? I don't know. Yes, I'm concerned, though. It's a division game. I think Denver has some guys. We see it. How many big plays has Javonte Williams had called back this year? Like, they have some game wreckers on that team.
By the way,
and Jerry
good for
Judy
you for
and,
yeah, good for you for picking up on Javonte Williams. You're a guy that pays attention. That dude is so much fun to watch every week. One of the top performers running the football in yards after contact.
He's a stud.
It's very difficult to get him to the ground. Very level-headed young man out of North Carolina who really relishes his role. But this week with Melvin Gordon, who's mispracticed all week, he may end up being the featured guy. And I think that Broncos fans are kind of like okay with that. Yes. I think Broncos fans are like, okay, let's see this guy. Let's see him get it 17, 18, 21 times. I'm curious. There are some interesting statistical oddities, with the Chiefs as it relates to their offense. We'll get to that in a moment. AB suspended without pay for three games. Counterfeit vaccination cards. It has to be Antonio Brown, doesn't it? I mean, you know, of course he's in on this. Just crazy. So he's out for three games. Would have missed two anyway, but the big rub there is that he's not going to get paid for three games. We're just off and rolling. We've got some NBA to get to today. Notre Dame promoting from within. Marcus Freeman at the age of 35 is the Fighting Irish's new top man. And we'll circle back a little bit on Wichita State's win at Oklahoma State and what it means setting up for their challenge this weekend against K-State at Intrust Bank Arena. All that and our State Farm Insurance Picks of the Week on a very busy Friday edition, as it normally is. All Brockton Hurdle, Jad Chambers producing Sports Daily on the sports station, KFH. Good to have you with us on a Football Friday. State Farm Insurance Picks brought to you by our friends from State Farm. I think Todd Benway is with us today. Here are the games that we are going to be picking. No surprise, really. Baylor plus 6.5 against Oklahoma State in the Big 12 Championship down at Jerry's World. Alabama. Jacob, this is almost a double take when you look at Alabama and they're getting 6.5 points. I think it's the first time in like 5 or 6 years or something like that, that they've gotten this many points in a game, but they're getting 6.5 against Georgia down in Atlanta in the SEC. Michigan, minus 11. It's going to be minus 11.5 for our purposes. Can't have a push. So I'm going to add the half there. Michigan by minus 11.5 against Iowa in Indianapolis. That's in the Big Ten game. Oregon plus 2.5 against Utah. That game is in Vegas for the Pac-12 championship, and Houston at Cincinnati. That's a Houston team getting 10.5 points, the one real true road game amongst the major championships coming up tomorrow. Houston getting 10.5 on the road at Cincinnati. Patriots plus 2.5 at the Bills. Chargers plus 3.5 at Cincinnati. Those are two of your pet projects, Chargers and Cincinnati. It'll be interesting to see which way you go there.
Yeah.
And the Broncos.
That, to me, is one of the best games of the week.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think it is, too. And then the Broncos, of course, getting 9.5 in Kansas City against the Chiefs, which allows me to circle back to the Chiefs and looking at this matchup and trying to figure out this, that, and the other thing. I found one thing that I thought was a real statistical oddity in that the one thing that you talk about in the NFL that you can't live with are what? Turnovers, right? I mean, that's what you always talk about. Turnovers and field position. Those are the two things that are harped upon the most when you're in post-game with NFL coaches. They talk to turnovers, you know, starting position, field position, things of this nature. The Chiefs have committed more turnovers than any team in the NFL not named the New York Jets. They've committed 11 interceptions, 11 fumbles, 22 turnovers, which is second in the league in frequency of turnovers, and yet have continued to score about 25.8 points a game. So the irony is that when they're not turning it over, they're still amongst the most productive offenses in the NFL in terms of points per possession without a turnover. I know that that's a very deep dive, but that's an inconsistency. In the NFL, teams that turn it over a lot don't score a lot of points because they give up so many possessions, but not the Chiefs. So
yeah,
I found that to be
interesting. Their entire offensive existence this year is weird. It is.
Yeah,
I agree.
It is.
I don't know. And that's, you know, it's not, but it's to the point now where it's not like an anomaly. It is what it is. So, and I say that, like, that can be broken. They could break out of this and get back to the offense we've always known. I sort of expect that to happen, but we just keep waiting, right? We keep waiting for it to happen. And the turnovers, even the turnovers in and of themselves have been weird. Because how many of those have been drop passes? Now, Mahomes is going to wear all those interceptions, but they're not all his fault. That we've seen fumbles. Like, it's not... They're weird. And maybe a bye week is enough time to sort of shake that out of the system. Maybe being a front runner again in the AFC sort of shakes that out of the system. The Chiefs have no reason to play out of a place of desperation anymore. Their defense is playing well. The offense can do its thing. Mahomes seems to be, you know, against the too high safety look or whatever it was the defenses were doing. He seems to be much more comfortable with that now. Just sort of, you know, it's the cliche, but it has been so true for them, taking what the defense will give you, because they're giving them a lot. They're just not letting them have the big play, but that's okay. Control the clock and take the little plays until you go down and score a touchdown. So, and that's even better when your defense is playing well, but the one key to that is don't turn the ball over.
Don't do it.
Right? If you're going to play that, you're going to play that kind of offense and that kind of game, which is the most effective way to win in the NFL, by the way, just don't turn the ball over. And I am curious to see how they come out of the bye in that way. And if everybody collectively gets rid of the yips that have caused so many of those turnovers, the number of I can't remember a season for any team, and it's obviously happened. We just watched this one so closely, but where there's been as many like batted, you know, missed catch interceptions or just the silliest mistakes that lead to turnovers. And, you know, I guess it's karma because for so long the Chiefs have been near perfect in that world as far as football goes. Maybe it's just all coming around full circle. But, you know, with the bye week and the opportunity to really just settle down a little bit after getting hot, maybe that's what ails them. Would I be surprised if the Chiefs just put the gas pedal down and dominate this game? No. But again... we just haven't seen that in so long for the Chiefs that it's hard to see a 9.5-point spread. I you know, back to your question in the last segment, I think there's absolutely reason for concern in this game. This isn't a game I don't think anybody – it just doesn't feel like a game where you see a 9.5-point favorite. The Broncos are 6-5.
Right. And they've won three of their last four. You get 9.5-point
favorites when, you know, when you're playing the Texans. Not when you're playing somebody that's 6-5. I just feel like there's still this perception with the Chiefs that is unrealistic. I mean, the Colts are, and granted it's on the road, but the Colts are giving 10 to the Texans. The Cardinals, which we assume will be healthy, right? As far as I know, again on the road, but only 7.5 to the hapless Bears. I'm just looking at the biggest lines of the week. The Vikings are only giving the Lions 7.5. Eagles and Jets is only 7. There's one. Bucks, Falcons at 11. Jags, Rams. See, now that's where you should get a big line, right? The Jags visiting the Rams. It's 13. But I look at the I just doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit. And I'm giving away my State Farm pick here, but 9.5 just doesn't fit what the Broncos are this year. It seems too big to me.
It's very interesting. And look, the Chiefs are a better football team, period. But the metrics, if you believe the metrics and the metrics only, Teddy Bridgewater in a lot of departments, and I swallow hard before I say this, is having a better season than Patrick Mahomes. Now, I'm talking about just straight linear metrics. This stat versus that stat. You'd be stunned when you look at it. Now, give me Patrick Mahomes every single weekend of the season. But it's interesting.
Yeah. Teddy Bridgewater takes a bad rap. I like Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater ought to be the quarterback of, well, would you take Teddy Bridgewater over Jameis Winston? Teddy Bridgewater would have been such a perfect fit for New Orleans.
Well, he was 5-0 at New Orleans, so
I mean, I know. And you know, before it's too bad, too, because everyone was bullish on him, too, before that bad injury in Minnesota. And for what he was effective in Carolina, too. Like, he's...
Yeah.
The Broncos have underachieved this year, in my opinion. They've had some injuries to deal with, but so does everybody else. But the way that Bridgewater's playing and the guys that they have, and I know they've sort of, you know, traded away Von Miller and done some of that kind of stuff, but the Broncos are better than a 6-5 team, in my opinion. I think the Broncos are as good as we thought they could be at the beginning of the year. They're just not winning games. And it's not Teddy Bridgewater's fault. So, I don't know. And look, the Chiefs beat the Cowboys by 10. You know, they just housed the Raiders, right? So maybe they have finally figured it out on how to just smoke people. But for a long time, and I'm not talking about just this year. I'm talking about going into last year. All their games were close. But the one thing that allows you to just put people away like that is a really good defense. And that's what the Chiefs have right now. So,
right.
That's where the 9.5 comes from, I think, is the way that the defense is playing. But we'll see. I mean, it's a division game. I think the Broncos have underachieved, but they're pretty good. I definitely think they're a playoff caliber team. Whether or not they'll make it, I don't know. But if, you know, I do see a world where a really talented player like Javonte Williams takes on a bigger role down the stretch and they get healthy and they can run Sutton and Patrick and Judy and Fant out there and, you know, Teddy Bridgewater takes care of it. If they can defend a little bit, the Broncos, I mean, of the contenders in the AFC, I think the Broncos are legitimate contenders, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I
for a playoff spot?
I mean, I would think so. I think the Chiefs are clearly the best team in the division. Clearly is, that's probably a little unfair, at least to the Chargers who have a win in Kansas City. But right now, in a what have you done for me lately league, I think the Chiefs right now are clearly the best team. Now, that can change in the NFL. We know that. It's a week-to-week league. But the Chiefs have been as consistent as any team in the league over the last month. And really over the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks if you want to throw in the bye. But their last six games, of which they're 5-1 in, they've really had only one outlier. Defensively, they've been fantastic. Enough that you expect them to play well. I mean, I expect the Chiefs to play well defensively. The only question I have is, can the Broncos run downhill on Kansas City? If the Broncos can run downhill straight at them in the run game, this will be an interesting football game. If the Chiefs bow up and don't allow that to happen, this has a chance to get one-sided. I think it's very simple in that regard. That and the fact that Mahomes can't turn it over. If they don't turn it over, then they score, then they're going to score. Even against a Broncos defense that, along with the Bills and the Patriots, are one of only three teams in the NFL to have allowed under 200 points so far. So,
I mean,
think about the Broncos matchups
right now. Let's take the Jets out, right? The Jags and the Texans. Those teams are out. Everybody else is in the mix still. Mm-hmm. So, Colts, Browns, Steelers, Bengals, Raiders, Chargers, Dolphins. Bills, I guess you got to put in because they're not a division leader. I mean, are the Broncos that far behind any of those teams?
They're positive in the Bengals point differential. Yeah, no, their point differential is actually pretty good. I mean they're behind the. Yes, there's a few. I'd say they're in the middle of that pack.
I do. I would too.
I think you have to pay attention to them. I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you got to pay attention to them. The 11 straight wins and that stuff kind of goes out the door because they're probably a little closer between each other this year, and yet the guys in the desert say 9.5, which is very interesting. So maybe they're expecting something. Hey, look, Andy Reid's 19-3 all time as a head coach coming off the bye week, and he's You know that he's tweaked some things offensively, and maybe that's the expectation, that the Chiefs are going to really rev offensively. And it's not like the Broncos haven't been gashed on occasion. They have. They've generally been pretty good defensively, but they've been gashed on a few occasions this year. So it's not out of the realm. It's an intriguing matchup. I like the Chargers and the Bengals, I think, to me, is the most intriguing matchup of the weekend. But I think that for other reasons, the Chiefs and the Broncos are probably right there. Okay, so there you go. All right, when we turn the page, let's get to a little NBA and circle back to Wichita State. State Farm Insurance picks of the week coming up in hour number two. All Brockton Hurdle. Jad Chambers producing. This is Sports Daily on the Sports Station KFH. The KFH Hotline is brought to you by Twin Peaks. East at 21st and Rock, West at Ridge and Taft. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
97.5 and 1240 KFH. Tune in to the Retire Hour Show Saturday at 7 a.m. on KFH or online at kfhradio.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Robert DMing me, what in the hell are you talking about? Bridgewater more highly rated than Mahomes? Have you lost your mind? Look, that's not what I said.
That's not what you said.
When you take a dive into metrics, you can cherry pick to some degree and make an argument that Teddy Bridgewater is at least having a very similar season to Patrick Mahomes. QBR, Bridgewater 18, Mahomes 9. Passer rating, Bridgewater 12, Mahomes 17. EPA, which is expected points added per play, Teddy Bridgewater 7, Mahomes 9. success rate, percentage of plays where expected points added is greater than zero. Mahomes number two, Bridgewater number nine. Air yards a play, Bridgewater 13th, Mahomes 24th. Touchdown pass percentage, Bridgewater 15, Mahomes 10. Interception rate, Mahomes 21st in the NFL amongst quarterbacks. Teddy Bridgewater number five. So anyway, now Mahomes is number one, or no, number two in the NFL in third down conversions. So, but anyway, look, you use the term, what, stats geek? You can find anything that you want, but the point is that if taken all things equally, I think that we would say to this point, 11 games in for the Chiefs, that Patrick Mahomes is probably having his, what, most challenging season as a quarterback for the Chiefs?
Yeah, I think he's seeing the most challenges. Stats nerd, right, is my preferred, yes, term. And I used to be a stats nerd. Stats, you know, the nerddom has gone to a new level, like most things with, you know, the internet and social media that I just can't keep up with. So that's a perfect example why they don't always tell the first story. It's really interesting to me that in all of that, and if it is, in fact, Mahomes' most challenging season, which we think it is, they're 7-4 coming out of a bye week with an opportunity,
bingo,
to still be the number one seed in the AFC.
Right. And that's the root of it. The Chiefs are still, even, I think, dyed in the wool, Chiefs kingdom fandom probably looks at this team and says, probably is not as good as the ones that preceded it over any time in the last 3 years. Certainly not the one last year. Hell, they only lost two games. But to your point, Jacob, and you've been consistent in making this over the last month, the Chiefs are just about where they need to be. Yeah, you would have liked to have thought, okay, 11 games in, they're 9-2 instead of 7-4. Okay, whatever. But the fact of the matter is they still control their own destiny. They're still in charge, out in front, into week 13 in a division that they've won five straight times. So, yeah, maybe they look a little different, but the outcome, is the outcome any different? Not to this point. And this would be another good win for them in the division, where they still have to go back to L.A. to play the Chargers, a team that's beaten them already.
Much different,
so we'll
Chargers
see.
Team. I think you feel, yep, pretty good about that if you're the Chiefs. You know, it's just it's been such an interesting season. And what a perfect definition of the craziness of an NFL season. Because they went into that incredibly difficult portion of their schedule, won all those games, and now you feel like, okay, now they get a stretch of games they can really win. Oh, by the way, every team in the AFC West is above 500. So, yes, they, yeah, have all these division games coming up, but the AFC West is really good. So is that a stretch? It's just, you know, there's not a stretch. There's not a good stretch of games where you can – just walk through it. The Chiefs' schedule just isn't that way this year. So I don't know what to expect with the Chiefs. I'm done guessing at them week to week. But what I can count on is their defense is playing well. Chris Jones is one of the best defensive players, if not the best in football. They are as healthy as they've been all year. And you get Andy Reid coming out of a bye week.
Yes,
it's impossible not to feel good about the Chiefs right now.
I would agree. All right. How about a little NBA conversation up until the top of the hour? Come on.
How much NBA have – well, you're in an NBA city. So
yes.
It's an unfair question to ask you how much NBA you've been watching, because I assume it's a pretty good amount.
Yes.
And I have not watched much at all, like almost none. except for keeping up with the Shockers all play well in the NBA and sure. the G League. And I know the Suns are on that streak. It is
Two
not
things
NBA
happened
season
last
in
night
my brain.
In the NBA that were, I think, very interesting. The Suns won their 18th straight. Remember, the record for consecutive wins in the NBA still held by the great 72 Lakers with 33 in a row. But they won their 18th straight last night, beating Detroit at home. But here's the one that really got to me and is still amusing me this morning. Memphis beat Oklahoma City last night by 73. It was the largest margin of victory or largest margin of defeat in NBA history, breaking a 30-year-old record. Come on, Oklahoma City.
So you're telling me the Thunder could have just stood still. I mean, the Grizzlies could have stood still. Let the Thunder go rattle off 72 straight points, and it still wouldn't have been enough.
No. Yeah, and I'll add one more to that. The Grizzlies bench outscored Oklahoma City in total by 18 points. The Grizzlies bench would have won that game by 18. Well, that's a little bit of a leap. But for the sake of just wind jamming, that's
Might
actually
well.
Kind of what's wrong with the NBA and why people don't give it a lot of cred, especially this time of the year. Although the Suns, which started 1-3 with 18 straight wins, that's real. By the way, they go to Golden State, who they beat at home earlier this weekend. So that will be, if you're wanting to take a check on an NBA game, that's a pretty good one to take a look at. The Suns with Landry Shamet, who's played some important and good minutes for them in Golden State against the Warriors. Okay, we'll get to the Shockers, K-State. The countdown to tip-off is on. And I know that Jacob probably covered a lot of that yesterday. Got a couple of observations. So we'll try to apply that moving forward instead of looking back. That as we continue, and we're about 15, 20 minutes away from our State Farm Insurance Picks of the Week. Sports Daily on the Sports Station, KFH. The KFH Hotline is brought to you by Twin Peaks. East at 21st and Rock, West at Ridge and Taft. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.